Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Now, we've been bringing you doctors on the front line, and today we have somebody with experience in nursing homes and general practice, is an internist, and has been using the drugs that we've been talking about, by and large, pretty early on in this and pretty effectively. The American, the people that deal with the respiratory, those docs, specialists, their association late yesterday endorsed the idea of this. Now, there are guidelines and all that. So who am I supposed to believe? People like that or Kamala Harris, who called the president of the United States a drug pusher? Or the guy that we had on yesterday, howling about science, this Democrat state representative. Constantly citing Dr. Fauci. He's the only one in the world able to make a medical decision now because he, by and large, is very cautious on this stuff. And again, there's nothing definitive here except a lot of good information and also the dire straits here. It's all hands on deck. So if it's all hands on deck, why is there such pushback on this drug? Some of it's anti-Trump. Some of it is just that they think they're defending these vaunted public health officials. They made them into gods. Now, I think Dr. Fauci is incredibly credible. I agree. I like Dr. Birx a lot. I don't think the Surgeon General is. I've said it. Not going to be a rubber stamp for this stuff. The head of the CDC that we had on, I thought he was credible. So how can we challenge that? Well, because other people who are on the front lines, doctors, researchers, etc., they are challenging this. They have used this. Even Andrew Cuomo, who's the darling, says we're seeing positive results in New York. So why this kind of backlash? It's complicated. It's more than just anti-Trump. It's just the people who think they're smarter. And because they've settled in on this, and they're using all kinds of the president is unleashing his powers to get India to send us tens of millions of the tablets of the drugs we're talking about. He is moving heaven and earth to get that drug. You know what the complaint is? Well, people with lupus and other arthritic conditions, as I understand it, they're going to be in pain, and all you people are sucking up these drugs. He's trying to get more. He's trying to move heaven and earth to do it. In what this is, out of this whole thing, as big as it is. By the way, Dan, today is unofficially, by most media accounts, day 100. So it has significance. That's the day in which consensus is it started to be on the radar screen dealing with this. Does it feel like 100 days or does it feel like 5 years? Easily 5 years, right? All right, let me go to our guest, Dr. Teresa Thomas is an internist in Lakewood, New Jersey, who, as I said, has used these with, I think, pretty good effectiveness. Hey, Dr. Teresa, welcome in. Thank you for joining us.
Hi. Thank you very much.
Can I ask you, you're in Lakewood. There seems to be a lot of people, and I'm not talking about politics of this, but a lot of people who are taking an alternative route to a lot of what the governor is proclamating, right? There seems to be a lot of police action in Lakewood.
Yes. I think that they may be doing their own thing, and it probably is putting a lot of people at risk.
Okay. All right. So that's what's going on there. Now, Dr. Teresa, let me ask you, as an internist, do you have a phone connection? Are you in a cell? There's a lot of movement there.
I am.
Okay.
Let me try there. Yeah. Is that better?
Okay. That is better. Now, how long have you been using this and why? Who was your guidance is what I'm asking to start to experiment, if you will, with this for your patients?
Well, I was looking at hydroxychloroquine only after I was studying chloroquine. And okay. I have a chemistry background. I got a chemistry degree from Bryn Mawr, and then I went to med school at University of Rochester. And I could see that chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine were similar chemically, and usually adding a hydroxy makes it more powerful and more bioavailable. So we don't have chloroquine in the United States, largely because it had more side effects. And hydroxychloroquine has been used safely for many years, about 70, for treatment of various conditions. And lupus, large doses, it could go up to 400 twice a day. That was the old dose. Now the new dose is 200 twice a day. But people have been taking that for years, and the half-life of hydroxychloroquine is 22 days. So if you take a drug for, let's say, 2 years, the same dose every day, it's building up in your system to toxic levels, possibly. Now, we don't routinely do levels on hydroxychloroquine, but theoretically, they could cut down the dose after developing 22 days of a level and then start to take it once every 3 weeks rather than as much as they're taking.
You're saying that in case there's an issue. So why are you using this? What kind of results have you gotten on the front lines then with your patients?
Well, we've been giving it in very low doses to prevent before it was made illegal to prevent the COVID. We were not relying on the COVID test because the COVID test, the PCR, is largely inaccurate until very late in the disease state because PCRs depend on viral copies, and viral copies aren't really high until late. Plus, the first two PCR tests. Sorry about that.
Go ahead.
The first two PCR tests were defective.
Okay.
So they weren't showing much positives.
Okay, so who were you giving it to as a preventative before it was made illegal to do that?
The risky patients, the over 50,
okay,
the diabetics, the hypertensives, the elderly, but really also I was giving it to people who had symptoms like, for example, diarrhea. So those people got well. They got well on very little dosing, and initially they complained. They complained about taking it.
Okay, so what's your bottom line around this then is, what do you think is driving people that are pushing back against people like Dr. Teresa and others, and just it has reached a level, if you had said at the beginning of this crisis.
I think greed.
In what way?
Well, if you want to use expensive medications that will make,
yes,
billions of dollars, that is greed. I think this is a very cheap drug. Let's say it is marked up 5,000% and it's $5 a pill instead of, 5 cents or 50 cents or whatever, it costs to make. It's still much better than a mask that's marked up to $10. It's still a better alternative. A small dose of this,
mm-hmm,
will possibly save somebody from a ventilator, which is going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yes.
So really, it's about where you want to spend the money. And as far as I'm concerned, spending the money on something cheap is much better and safer, and it shows this hydroxychloroquine has been shown to prevent entry of the COVID into the ACE2 receptor. Now, it also has been shown to prevent entry into the heme molecule, which probably occurs later in the course of the disease, but we're not sure.
Right.
But those are the two points of entry that we know of so far, and hydroxychloroquine prevents both entry points.
Well, I hear you. Do you ask for a waiver to use it as a preventative, or that's out of bounds in New Jersey?
I think it's out of bounds. It's out of,
yeah,
bounds. The governor and the pharmacies have made it so that it's out of bounds. It's not good medicine.
What they're doing.
And,
I hear you.
And that has got to change. And it can't be that they start to develop cartels where they have governors that are purchasing it, because then they're going to be a big drug cartel.
All right. Well, Dr. Teresa, thank you. Thanks for that perspective. We hope to talk with you again. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.